And where we go wrong oftentimes is we lose the fact of that purpose. We start thinking about different purposes, our jobs or our family or whatever it may be. We start thinking about all these different things out there in this world that constantly pulls us away from the real purpose. The real purpose is God. The real service is God. And I don't know how many people I've talked to that were older people that really couldn't get around much anymore and couldn't do things anymore the way that they had done things before. And even my mother, when she was in her 90s, she made this comment to me several times. She said, "I don't know why God keeps me here. I don't know what my purpose is." And of course, I told my mom often that the reason why God keeps her here is because only the good die young. But really, the reason why God keeps you here is because you have a purpose. And if there's nothing you can do, let me tell you something that this congregation needs. I'm just going to tell you this. This congregation needs a group of prayer warriors. If you can't get out and work in the yards anymore, if you can't make it to the worship service every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if there's something that's keeping you from that, you know what you can do? You can lift your voice in prayer to God. Because by doing that, by lifting your voice in prayer to God, you are calling upon the power of the universe. We need, in this congregation, prayer warriors. And since I've been here, I have been very impressed with our elders. In that, they get together weekly and pray for each individual on our prayer list. Thank you, gentlemen, for doing that. But how much more could we do if all of us did that? If all of us did that. We have that prayer list out on the internet, do we not? Where you can get there and you can see it. If you want a copy of the prayer list, we can give you a copy of the prayer list. Whatever it may be that you need, we can get you so that you can pray. So if we have individuals out there that you don't think you can do anything, call upon the name of the Lord. For His power, can do all things. Realize what you are. Become that prayer warrior with us. Help us along the way. Pray for our congregation, but not just our congregation. Pray for all the congregations throughout the entire world. Pray for every Christian, every person. Pray that God's word would be spread, that more will come to know Him. Now that brings us to exactly what I wanted to talk about today. And what I want to talk about today is living for Christ. Do you live for Christ? Or do you live for something else? Man, that's great that you got all those gold. You know, when I ran track, they had the fat man relay. And whoever won the fat man relay got a box, a dozen donuts. I never won, but I tried real hard. To live for Christ. That's what we should be doing today. Let's take a look at what Paul says about that in Philippians chapter 1. He says this, For to me, to live is Christ. In other words, for him to live today is for Christ. And then he says, to die is gain. Why does he say that? Because he knows where he's going. Remember, I've talked to you multiple times before that you need to know where you're going. And if you have any questions in your life about where you're going, then what you need to do is you need to get rid of those questions. If you question about your baptism, we need to get you baptized. Amen. If you question about your work that you are doing for Christ, we need to put you in a position where you work more for Christ. Become that prayer warrior. Put Christ in your life. Because as we read this, Paul understands he's going to heaven. And so those of us who believe and know that we are going to heaven can say the same thing. Today I live for Christ. But when I pass from this life, I gain because I'm going to be with Christ in heaven. Verse 22, but if I am to live on in the flesh. Now understand, I'm going to give you a little history here. I understand where Paul was when he wrote this. He was in prison in Rome awaiting his execution. Put that in perspective. He wasn't worried about dying, was he? Because dying is gain. But as long as he lives, he's going to continue to write these letters. And honestly, I thank God that he was in prison because most of what he wrote was from prison that we use today. And so it was God's providence that he would be in prison so that we today would have his word. So it says, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. Paul is saying, I don't know which way to go, because I realize that my labor today is fruitful. And I'm not sure if Paul knew all those things or not, but I will tell you this, Paul's fruitful labor continues on today. Because we today are reading his words. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to go ahead and depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for who? Our sakes. For us today. To remain on in the flesh is better for us today. And will be better for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Excuse me. So that your pride in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me by my coming to you again. Now, I want to ask this question. How is it that we show that we are living for Jesus? How is it that we show that we are living for Jesus? And I have a few points that I want to make of how we show everyone in this world, in this community, in this life, that we live for Christ. First one is this, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. How do you conduct yourself? I bring this up so much because I know, for example, that most people come to know Christ because of you. It's you. It's not me. It's not someone else. It's you. How do people in your family come to know Jesus Christ? Because you said or did something. How do people that are friends of yours come to know Jesus Christ? Because you said or did something. It's the example that you set that people notice the most. It's not what you say. It's what you do. I've told you about this lady that used to go up at University of Arkansas, and she'd stand on the fountain in the middle of the square, and everybody had named her Sister Cindy. I don't know what her name was, but that's what they called her. And you'd walk by there, and she'd start screaming at you as you walk by. And I walked by there one day, and she pointed at me, and she said, "You're a whoremonger." I didn't even know what that was. But I guess I don't know. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. And I can promise you I didn't want to get to know her. Because her message was not God's message. But I want you to understand something. You live God's message every day. Every day. People see you. They respond to you. They are drawn to Christ because of you. I cannot emphasize that enough. And so therefore, you will hear me emphasize it many more times. Second, we need, as a congregation especially, we need to be of one spirit. One spirit. Remember the woman at the well? "I think I have found the Messiah. Come and see." Let that be our one spirit. We have found salvation. Come and see. That's our one spirit. We have found the truth. Come and see. That is our one spirit. We have found forgiveness of sin. This is our one spirit. We are all of one spirit because the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, dwells within us. And therefore, we should be all combined within that one Spirit. And when you go out in the world, people will see that one Spirit dwelling within you. And because of that, you will draw people to Christ. We are of one spirit. We are not divided. Folks, I've talked to you about this nation. My history background will tell you that this nation today is more divided than it was during the Civil War. Did y'all know that? We are more divided today than it was during the Civil War. Civil War, it was actually 60-40 was the division. Today, a landslide victory in an election is 55-45. That's called a landslide victory. Most victories are more or no more than 2 or 3 points, percentage points. That's how divided this nation is. Folks, there should be no division here. None. Why? Because we are all of one spirit. No division here. Any division is out there. And we take that one spirit with us wherever we go, whatever we do. One spirit, one purpose. And remember God's purpose, that none should perish, but all people everywhere should come to repentance. One purpose in life, to serve God. Look at this one. One mind, one purpose. I told you just a minute ago that we've been inviting people, and people have been showing up. I invited one last week, showed up here Sunday night. I hope he comes back. How many of you are here today because you were invited to come? I don't need hands, but I know some. That's why I was looking at them. You were invited to come. That's why you're here. You were invited to hear the Word of God. Our one purpose should be God's purpose, bringing others to Christ. Our young people today, Mark 16:15, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One purpose. Go, preach, teach, bring others to Christ. This is something we should do too. Let's work together. Like I said, no division here. Not going to take it. Not going to put up with it. We're not going to have it here because we are working together for that one purpose of serving God, to bring others to Jesus Christ so that they may know the salvation that comes through knowing Christ our Lord and Savior. How will they know that? Just like the eunuch said, and Manny read Isaiah 53, which the eunuch was reading today. He said, how will I know unless someone guide me? Folks, you are the guide. You are the one to bring others. Bring them. Working together, one mind, one spirit, one purpose. Serving God only. Striving together to do God's will. Now in Philippians 1:28 says this, do not be afraid by your opponents. Now, Rick's been talking about that in our Bible study on Sunday morning. I do not fear the world. Why? Because Christ has overcome the world. I do not fear Satan. Why? Because Christ has overcome Satan. And if I resist him, he will flee from us. So therefore, do not fear the things of this world. I had a person talking to me one time about somebody coming up and robbing you. And he said to me, he said, what are you going to do when somebody sticks a gun in your face and says, give me all your money? I said, I'm going to give them all my money. I said, the $20 in my pocket is not worth me dying over, nor is it worth me killing somebody over. I'm going to give him that $20. What did Jesus say about that? If you want your cloak, give him your coat also. Realize what the situation is. Jesus says, don't fear the one that can take the life, but rather fear the one that can take the life and the soul for an eternity. Amen. Don't fear the things of this world. Christ has overcome this world. Our King, our Master, is far greater than anything this world could do. That's why I become a prayer warrior. Amen. Philippians 1:29 tells us this. We need to consider it joy that we have the right to suffer on God's behalf. Remember, we've got a roaring lion out there that's trying to devour us. And there will be people in this world, when you go out into it, that will stand against you, that will say all manner of evil against you falsely, as Jesus told his apostles in Matthew chapter 5. It's going to happen. There are people in this world that are being put to death because of their Christian beliefs. Not so much here in the United States, but it does happen here. Realize that we will suffer for Christ, but consider it joy that we are found worthy to suffer for Christ. Worthy to suffer for Christ. We will suffer on His behalf, but we should find it to be joy because of it. Now the last verse that I've got up there is John chapter 17, verse 23. Says this, I in them and you in me. That's the one Spirit. That they may be perfected in unity, joined together, one purpose, one Spirit. So that the world may know that you sent me, doing God's will. His will, none should perish. And you love them just as you have loved me. Jesus says, greater gift hath no man than this, that one lay down his life for another. It's very true. But realize this. God loves you so much that he gave his son. Wouldn't it be great to share that love with other people? God loves me so much, he loves you too. Come and be a part. Now I want you to know that if indeed your life is set up to where you're going to do what God wants you to do, that you're going to do Christ's work, to live today is for Christ. If we're going to do that, then we're not going to argue, we're not going to quibble over things in the Bible. The Bible says it, I'm going to do it. We're not going to quibble over commands. So if it is commanded that we all be baptized, then we shall all be baptized. If it's commanded that we all should believe, then we all should believe. If it is commanded that we all go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then we should all go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There shouldn't be any discussion about this. Open the Bible and see what it says. If it says it, do it. Makes it simple. And I'm a pretty simple person. I was taught, use the KISS method. Some of you know what that is. That's keep it simple, stupid. I learned that especially when I was dealing with junior high football players. You got to keep it simple. But I tell you this, and I sum it up with this verse, John 17:23. Because our purpose here on this earth is simple. Do God's will. Period. Don't argue about it. Don't gripe about it. Don't denounce it. Go out and do it. And by doing so, you will bring others to Christ. What a great joy it is when you see someone that you've worked with get baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin.
Amen.
What a great joy it is here, and all the angels rejoice in heaven. Seek that rejoicing. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or especially a need for baptism, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.
In need of grace.